knowledge fire.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan. Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in Stop it. Andy in Kansas. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today?
My bright spot today is, it's kind of hypothetical, but it's still
interesting
in the ballpark.
Okay.
Sweatpants.
Hypothetical sweatpants.
I got some sweatpants.
The concept of
sweatpants. I haven't worn them yet. Therefore, later tonight.
I see. Yes. Yeah.
I've been flirting with the idea of like just retiring to like, I can wear some sweatpants.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's time.
It's great.
Yeah,
it's great.
To have around the house, maybe in lieu of a pajama pant.
Love it.
Or something. So I'm getting into leisure. That's what I'm doing.
I'm huge sweatpants, and I mean that literally. I have gigantic sweatpants, way too big for me, and I just can't get rid of them.
Well, I find myself generally wearing a hoodie.
Yeah.
And I feel like what is sweatpants but pant
the
hoodie?
The hoodie of pants.
Exactly.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
What about you? What's your
I like
spot?
That. My bright spot is this movie, a new movie, maybe. I can't remember. It's called Red Rocket. And it is about, it's one of those classic slice of life, the decline of America movies, you know? It's about this porn star, can't hack it in L.A. anymore, has to go back to his small town Texas home.
Mm-hmm.
Very unsubtle Trump comparisons, very unsubtle everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very interesting movie. I recommend it.
They have to go back to the struggling Texas porn industry and try and rebuild?
Well, no.
Well, that sounds fun.
No, it is fun.
I thought you were going to say Jackass Forever.
No. I haven't seen it. I haven't been to a movie theater in years. So.
Neither have I.
Yeah.
But I will watch that eventually.
As soon as I can.
So, Jordan, today we have an interesting episode to go over. We're going to be talking about February 11th, 2022.
Ooh, okay.
That is Friday of last week. Very, very exciting little sort of arc we have over the course of this episode. And I'm excited to get down to business on that. But first, we got to say hello to some new wonks.
Ooh, good call.
So first, Lauren D. Also, sorry about this. We should have gotten to this maybe a week ago
A week ago.
We're a little bit late on wishing you a happy first day as a policy officer. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much and congratulations.
Congrats. Next, Honeycomb Hideout Pass Holder. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, a little Drakey for me. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Jordan active listening to Alex in clips and giving him credulous feedback is always my bright spot. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
So, Jordan, we got a couple of Happy Valentine's Day messages.
Great!
For some wonks out there. So first, Happy Valentine's Day to Kamari from Emily!
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Happy Valentine's Day!
I have
Day.
This drop for you.
Yes.
next, Happy Valentine's Day to DJ Blakey B! You are now a Valentine's wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much. Have a little Blakey.
A little Blakey.
A little DJ Blakey for me.
And we got a technocrat in the mix today, Jordan. So so thank you very much to Alex Ross. You know which one we mean. We're listening. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk. I have risen above my enemies. I might quit tomorrow, actually. I'm just going to take a little Blakey now. A little Blakey for me. And then we're going to come back, and I'm going to start the show over. But I'm the devil. I got to be taken off here. I'm doing all this. Blah, 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 blah. Fuck you. Fuck you. I got plenty of words for you, but at the end of the day, fuck you and your New World Order, and fuck the horse you rode in on, and all your shit. Maybe today should be my last broadcast. I mean, maybe I'll just be gone a month, maybe 5 years. Maybe I'll walk out of here tomorrow and you never see me again. That's really what I want to do. I never want to come back here again. I apologize to the crew and the listeners yesterday that I was legitimately having breakdowns on air. I'll be better tomorrow.
I'm not sure if he's better on this episode, but he certainly gets weird towards the end.
That's
good. I can tell you that for sure.
That's always nice.
So on Friday, Alex was deciding to take most of his time talking about how the globalists had been defeated.
Already?
Yes. Now.
Whoa, that was a quick turnaround.
Well, maybe they're not so defeated, but they're defeated.
They're defeated.
It's a triumphant day for Alex, and it is a day that you need to mark in your calendar.
All right.
You can officially mark your calendars as February 11th, 2022, as the date that the COVID biomedical power grab, great reset tyranny officially collapsed. Now, they're still going to try to enforce and implement it, but
Had
to pick a point to which the House of Cards began falling, really from day one they launched it 2+ years ago, because their own documents, their own arrogance, and a lot of good scientists and researchers, they weren't going to let them get away with it. So the House of Cards, right at the time they launched this lie, began to wobble and collapse, but it's been in slow motion free fall since then, but now it is a pile of cards on the table. Now it's up to us to prosecute the criminals that have carried out this psychological warfare operation and this biological warfare operation to bring in their world government transhumanist revolution.
So now it's time for prosecutions. There's a little bit of a tone that you're going to get over the course of this episode, I think, that is that there's a tonal change. There's a mood change from we have now declared victory, and now it is time to put on war crimes trials for all of our imaginary enemies.
Right.
I think Alex is a little bit high on the truckers in Ottawa.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think that's the explanation for everything. I think he thinks that this is solved. All of the problems
this
of
is
the
it.
COVID.
This is the big one.
Yep.
This was Trudeau has stepped down.
Yep.
We just got to prosecute him for war crimes.
Yep.
The whole thing.
Everything is getting wrapped up thanks to the brave truckers who have honked their horns a bunch.
Because I will be honest, what he just said does not make any sense.
It certainly doesn't.
No.
I think even if you just look at it conceptually, take it outside of the prism of reality.
Totally.
And you look at it from so we got a house of cards.
Right.
The second they launched this operation,
it was
2 years ago.
It was
wobbling.
Immediate wobble.
But now it is completely collapsed.
Right, but that's not how House of Cards collapse.
Nope.
They collapse very quickly.
Uh-huh, but it's collapsed, and mark the day that it finished collapsing, as opposed to, wouldn't you mark the day that it began?
Yeah, that would...
Because that's when the die was cast, you know?
Right, it was already destined to fail, so theoretically it already has failed.
I don't think there's a lot of saving a wobbly House of Cards. It's very delicate.
No, very much not.
Seems like it would be tough. and also you'll notice in there, too, that Alex does his favorite thing of, like, they have completely collapsed, it is over, but also they're still going to do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, the House of Cards is not a flat house of... It's not just a pile of cards if they're still going to try and do it. That's not how it works.
Look, the House of Cards collapsed, but they're going to pick up the cards, they're going to shuffle them, and they're going to try to make you play Texas Hold'em.
Okay. Well, this is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we were playing House of Cards.
Mm-mm.
Oh, shit.
So, like I said, this is mostly about the truckers and the Ottawa protest.
Gotcha. The Biden administration, by the way, came out, I've got the article, and said Trudeau needs to use federal force to crack down on his insurrection. Children jumping on bouncy houses for day 11 now, or is it day 12? Crime rate almost zero now in Ottawa.
Okay.
Think about that.
Alex is absolutely just making that statistic up. There's no way he's looked into relative crime rates from before the truck convoy arrived in Ottawa compared to current rates. And honestly, I'm pretty much certain he wouldn't know how to look into that even if he wanted to.
Right.
And Alex is very much wrong. There have been plenty of crimes that people have been arrested for in Ottawa, specifically at the convoy even. Over 100 of the tickets and citations that have been given out have been for relatively minor crimes like having booze out in public or not wearing a seatbelt, but there have also been multiple people arrested for destruction of property in regards to damaging the property of local businesses. According to a statement put out by the Ottawa Police Department, quote, there are over 60 criminal investigations so far related to the demonstration. They're primarily for mischief, thefts, hate crimes, and property damage. This is outdated information. There have been more investigations that have opened since that statement was released.
Right.
It's you know, it's good PR to have this image of the bouncy houses to point to and pretend that was all that was going on, but that's just meant to run cover for the actual really fucked up things that are happening.
Yeah.
It's like how Alex uses the image of people milling about at the Capitol, you know, like walking through the velvet ropes, to pretend that's all the event was, as opposed to the reality that it was his friends trying to overthrow the government.
Right.
In this case, one of the things that the image of the bouncy houses is covering up is there seems to be a lot of hate crimes happening. The Ottawa Police Department put out a press release on February 10th and revealed that their hate-motivated crime hotline had received over 413 calls that were needing to be followed up on. For some context, in 2019, Ottawa had only 116 reports of hate-motivated crimes and 182 in 2020.
Right.
The period of time where the convoy occupation has gone on has led to an over doubling of reporting of hate-motivated crimes compared to what the city usually sees in a year, and it's been going on for like 2 weeks.
Right. Yeah, so when rich people in America pay for stuff, generally speaking, it's going to increase the number of hate crimes in other countries.
That's kind of a side effect.
There's a corollary, it seems.
So this is just something that Alex does really consistently. Everything that's related to extreme right-wing causes that he supports involves absolutely no violence. And in fact, the mere presence of these patriot heroes has the effect of eliminating the crime that existed there before. He does this with right-wing protests all the time, and now apparently an occupation of a city by people pretending to care about vaccine mandates for truckers.
Right.
Conversely, every event that involves people on the other side of the political aisle is reported by Alex as essentially being a bloodbath. If he was there, he will have had to fight his way out of wherever it was. If he wasn't there, he'll find some weirdo to claim that Antifa was beating up grandmas while the police cheered them on.
Yep.
It's a nonsense. This is a script for him, and the reality of a particular situation does not matter. The goal of his show is to advance this very extreme right-wing politics, and he does that by using narratives. And it's not necessary for those narratives to connect to reality. If they work, that is true enough. And for what it's worth, of course Biden wants Trudeau to use more force to solve the situation. These assholes are blocking border crossings that are essential for transporting goods between the countries. You should expect that to piss off the heads of those states.
Yeah. Real quick, okay? Mm-hmm. If you say to me, see, now after these convoy guys got there, there's no more crime. What does that tell you? Does that tell me that we should have a convoy shut down every major city in the United States in order to end crime?
Well, I think...
Is that the point? Is it we just end everything?
Well, I dispute the statistic, but obviously assuming the statistic is true.
Yeah, imagine it's true.
Assuming it's true, I would look for other possible explanations for it, like... The police have gone on holiday.
Sure, there could be that.
They just decided not
to
do any...
A complete abdication of responsibility whatsoever.
Right, there might be a reason that there's no crimes getting reported
or something,
as opposed to there actually not being any crimes.
Ooh, so that's one way to solve the crime problem. Completely shut down the ability of anything to function whatsoever.
Hey.
Then you can't report anything.
That's one way.
Who are you going to report it to?
Ghostbusters?
Exactly.
So, look, this protest is nonviolence. It is just, like, civil disobedience at its core.
A million truckers from the tip of South America to the top of Canada.
This is the kind of stuff that the sort of legends of nonviolent...
Gandhi. Yep. Gandhi.
Oh, yeah. He's in the mix.
I would love that. Yeah.
And then they wanted to soften us up and feminized men and all the rest of it so that we would not resist their takeover. And now they're surprised that people understand they want violence, understand they think they can beat us if they trick us into violence. And so we're not being violent. We're politically, culturally, peacefully, with very light civil disobedience. Blocking bridges is light stuff. And that's what Martin Luther King would do. Mahatma Gandhi would do. And you're going to try to call that violent. And you're going to try to claim the supply chain's breaking down, not because of the 2 years of lockdowns in the third world, where we get our supplies from mainly, But because of a couple weeks of truckers saying, hey, you attacked us with a blockade, we're going to hit you right back with a damn blockade to show you we got the power.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So I don't think that any of these people have the kind of discipline that Gandhi or Martin Luther King Jr. Might have had. And also, I think, from my understanding of sort of past actions by people like King or Gandhi, they had a point that was pretty clear.
Yeah, it was very clear.
Whereas I think that the nebulousness of what this truck...
it's vaccines and it's the laws. Trudeau?
Right.
Am I right? It's, you gotta.
It's getting a criminal trial for Fauci.
They're everywhere.
It's
just vague. They're everywhere.
There is a non-uniformity of what is the point of this.
Right.
That I think kind of hurts the sort of civil disobedience aspect of
right.
it. It's poorly organized from that standpoint.
Well, I mean, if your real point is we want to make enough chaos where smarter people than us can like sneak into the halls of power while everybody's focused on us being assholes, then you can't really say that's your whole idea.
It's also, I don't think that's nonviolence. That's running a distraction.
There you go.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
And also, like, as for the like supply chain issue that Alex is bringing up, like, there's going to be some impact on it from the blockades on the bridges, that because they're where a lot of trade goods are transported. But ultimately, Alex is missing most of the point. The conversation that people are having largely isn't about like the larger supply chain totally being impacted.
Right.
It's specific ones that are getting hit hard.
Right.
This is mostly about the automotive industry and how car manufacturers rely heavily on that Ambassador Bridge that the truckers are blocking or have been blocking. That the blockade has led to slowed assembly lines and some people just shutting down. This seems like something Alex should really care a lot about, considering how much he talks about how evil it is that the globalists want to deindustrialize the United States. It seems like if these blockades continue and these already struggling auto manufacturers in the United States can't do business like this, they're just going to stop making cars? Is that what they're going to do? No. They're going to lay off workers, they're going to raise the prices, or they're going to move their manufacturing somewhere else where it's more convenient to them, which is Alex is supposed to be super against.
And what you're forgetting is that if they have a pretext, they're going to do all three at the same time.
And you're giving a great pretext.
Yep, you got it. There you go.
Alex is a friend of the worker. Anyway, look, this is working out really well.
Yeah.
The blockade.
House of Cards, gone.
It's come down.
It's come down. Yeah.
But also, they might rebuild that House of Cards.
I cannot express enough to you how incredible this moment is, but the enemy will strike back, and we'll talk about that in the next hour. But I want to talk about the positive things today here. All across the world, from Asia to the Middle East to Africa to Europe, Russia, North America, Central America, South America, everywhere, except the usual suspects, God bless them.
What?
Are totally removing the restrictions because they know it built a crescendo, a crest of resistance in law enforcement, in the military, in the bureaucracy, in the systems, in the courts, everywhere to say no, because the average person now realizes this is destroying their own future. Going along with this, even if you work with the system and even if you're a bad person, you don't want to live in a dystopia, do you? People now know the New World Order stinks.
Yeah, it stinks, man.
It stinks.
I don't know who
like
the...
John Lovitz before him, Alex Jones, has decried something for stinking. It's
dropping the catchphrase.
You betcha.
I don't know who the usual suspects are in that.
I have no idea.
That kind of confused me a little bit.
I mean, he seemed to have named literally every continent,
except for the God bless them.
Luxembourg.
God bless
God those. Goddamn Luxembourg.
Luxembourg, France?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
They're not having anything to do with this.
So you can see that trick there that Alex uses to keep people engaged when he's forced to announce something that's supposed to be good news for his team. Everyone's dropping these COVID restrictions, so that should mean that they won. But if you let the audience think they won, then they're going to get much less engaged in a hurry. So the best thing you can do is to make sure that every victory comes with a reminder that this isn't actually a victory and there's trouble right around the corner. So you need to stay scared and reliant on Alex to be the tip of the spear or whatever.
Yeah.
As for the restrictions being dropped, I thought we already did this narrative like a month ago.
I was sure we were done with this one.
It can't happen multiple... I don't know. This is really disorienting because Alex claimed victory and said that everyone was dropping their COVID restrictions back when Boris Johnson said England was going to, which was before the trucker convoy. Because the convoy was really exciting people, Alex had to pretend that narrative he launched never happened. Since if he was reporting that it was true, then, you know, that everyone was dropping the COVID restrictions, that would undercut the supposed reason that these truckers were in the right to do what they were doing.
It's more like a soft opening, you know, like a big restaurant. You're not sure. You gotta hammer out all the kinks first, and then
a dress rehearsal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally. You get it.
He's just doing a propaganda retcon. And in terms of like capturing enthusiasm, I think it's probably a wise decision. The momentum that comes from this whole situation in Ottawa and whatever direction things end up going there, that's way more profitable than whatever bland storyline that was going to grow out of Boris Johnson's announcement. No way, no good.
Yeah.
Different places have different contexts for how the pandemic is going, so their responses are going to be different. Sweden is easing restrictions, while Hong Kong is tightening up significantly. Alex has a habit of generalizing very complex things down to single variable storylines that are easy for him to explain and easier for the audience to digest. There aren't a ton of different governments making decisions based on different variables and different philosophies surrounding public health. There's just one overarching evil cabal who's making everyone put COVID restrictions in place, and they're so scared by the trucker convoy that they've decided to have everyone withdraw the restrictions at once.
Yeah.
It's childish, but the impulse to engage with news that way makes total sense because, you know, if Alex actually had to explain the things he's talking about in detail, his worldview and conspiracy wouldn't make any sense.
Oh, it'd collapse. Like a house of cards.
That was wobbly from day
exactly.
one.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's...
The brinksmanship is so... Not brinksmanship, but that like... It's always on the knife's edge of victory or failure, but you never know. Like, it's literally him screaming, like, hey, listen, we played a great basketball game. Only 10 seconds left. We're up by 50 points. We don't need to worry about it. That said, their last shot counts for 51 points, and it's a layup. So you got to be terrified at all the time.
We're playing rock and jock.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, gee, what are we doing? Yeah.
There's that silver basket way up there.
Yeah, I didn't even realize. Shit.
Yeah, it's a cheap trick to try and create tension and continued attention.
Yeah,
it's stupid.
Yeah.
So Alex has some other news from the world about victories vis-a-vis COVID.
Israel to scrap COVID green pass. Boom, just scrapping it. They're all scrapping everything. Now they're going to try to bring it back later, but this beta test failed so far in phase one. Problem is, it's a soft kill weapon. Wait till that comes out.
That is a problem.
I mean, a soft kill weapon tends to be a problem. I haven't heard of one that's not a problem at all.
I don't even think he was saying that the soft kill weapon is the problem. It's right. Wait till it comes out.
Right,
that's
right.
Going to be the problem.
That'll be the issue.
So Israel's decided to do away with its green pass system, but it's not universal in its application. There are still going to be events that require vaccinations, ones with, quote, significantly greater risk of infection, such as weddings and parties, according to an article in Haaretz. It's not really good news, though, because their reasoning was largely that the program hadn't had an effect on encouraging holdouts to get vaccinated, and that they felt like the pass program was, quote, becoming obsolete with the rampant spread of the Omicron variant that has changed the way governments are approaching the pandemic. It's tough to see how this is a victory for Alex unless he's been cheering for the virus all this time and just not told us.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like his response there is a little bit like everybody's kind of gone from trying to stop things to more covering their own ass and trying to keep their jobs. So guess we're open again. Hooray!
And also, like, doesn't this destroy one of the giant conspiracy theory pillars that, like, once a government gets a power, they're never going to give it
up? They're never going to take those passes away because the passes are the mark of the beast.
Right.
Absolutely.
And once they have them in your hands, you're done. You're done. You're never going back to how it was before. But here he is reporting that they're going back to how it was before.
That would be a great part of the Book of Revelations to have missed out, is that at some point the Antichrist could just be like, you know what, guys? I'm going to take these marks of the beast back. I'm just going to take them back.
Or if it's,
I can't be doing this right now.
Or if it's like, the mark of the beast will be upon you and you will need it to buy or sell unless a bunch of truckers honk honk for a couple days.
Yeah.
And then everyone will get freaked out. No more mark. No more mark.
Do the bare minimum of sustained civil disobedience.
Mm.
Yeah.
So there's some dumb elements to this reporting, but it pales in comparison to Alex doing this.
Yeah.
This next clip is so stupid. It is next level stupid.
Next level stupid.
Yeah, this is this would be almost. I think this would be embarrassing if I heard this on Project Camelot.
Okay.
The biomedical tyranny trying to turn our little darlings into mentally ill hypochondriacs while injecting them and trying to fill them full of deadly poisons that are made out of the HIV virus that attack every organ in the body and turn off your white blood cells so you get cancer and every other disease and die. Oh, and that's the bad news. I have a stack of mainstream news here admitting record heart attacks, blood clots, myocarditis, and of course cancer.
He never gets to those articles, so just leave that aside.
Don't worry about those.
And of course deaths. And it doesn't matter. Suddenly the Smithsonian and science and physicians world are saying it's incredible news. What's in the Pfizer and Moderna shot, the graphene oxide, creates a perfect biomedical sensor, and now they're going to be able to read everybody. They say with machines, it's a byproduct of what you took. You're tracked now. Oh, it's in the news.
So I don't think this needs to be said, but this is not in the news. This,
I mean,
is not in the news.
So I mean, but also, aren't we just back on, they put computer chips in the, I mean, it's the same basic difference. Instead of a computer chip, it's a graphene scanner thing.
Right, it'll make a chip within you,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, I mean, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
So I think that one essential piece that we need to just really deal with is that there isn't graphene oxide in the vaccines, which kind of makes Alex's argument collapse, much like a house of cards.
Almost entirely.
Yes. And I was really confused because I had no idea what the fuck he was talking about.
Right.
I couldn't find anything about what he was talking
Nobody's
about.
Nobody's like, hey, they're giving kids HIV. Nobody
Alex,
said that.
Alex said this is in Science and the Smithsonian.
It was...
did not find hide nor hair of this.
Odd.
But then Alex read the headline and I was able to figure it
Here
out.
Here we go.
It's mainstream news. Graphene biosensor will drive new innovations in brain-controlled robots. Oh, and it's the exact type of graphene oxide that's been injected into you, and it's just a funny byproduct now that people that have had the shot can now have certain new types of medical diagnostics. Wow, and those that don't will just inject you with it, and now you can.
So this has nothing to do with the article.
No.
This is an article from Physics World, and it has to do with the brain-machine interfaces that can be made, mm-hmm. like for a robotic arm or
sure.
something. You know,
yeah.
Future applications and where that technology can go. Until recently, scientists had a problem, which was that graphene-based biosensors were really effective, but they were also fragile. Quote, corroding upon contact with sweat.
Ooh.
That level of fragility.
Yeah.
This wasn't about implanting these sensors into the brain either. It's not like internal sensors.
Sure.
It would be like EEG, electrodes
yes.
on the surface of your skin. So graphene worked really well for these sensors, but they had that durability drawback. And then on top of that, they, quote, exhibit high skin contact impedance that hampers the detection of signals from the brain.
Right.
So this article in Physics World is about the development of a new sensor using epitaxial graphene, which is, quote, grown on a silicon carbide on silicon substrate.
Yeah, so, you know, like you do.
Yeah.
Duh, Dan.
So this creates a material that is as effective as graphene, but without the other limitations that we mentioned earlier. The researchers who developed this new, better sensor believe that it'll have a lot of applications in emerging technologies, like being able to have like a sensor that'll be able to move your arm or something.
Man, you know.
So that's what this article is about. And you can see how Alex's coverage about this is completely made up.
Yeah.
He's making up literally everything about it.
Yeah.
It's just ramblings. And the two pillars of his bullshit are a headline for a scientific article he didn't read.
Right.
And a false conspiracy theory that there's graphene oxide in the COVID vaccines. Like, this is Super Bowl level bullshit.
Yeah, that is a lot of stuff pulled from whole cloth. I mean, just with nothing. With nothing behind it. It's kind of amazing.
Well, I mean, you had conspiracy theories running around about how there's graphene oxide in the vaccines. And then Alex, I guess someone showed him a headline that said that there's biosensors using graphene. Yeah. And he was just like, ha ha ha.
Done.
They're the exact
same. Put it
same.
All together.
So they're injecting you yeah. with a vaccine that has it, and then you'll have EEG electrodes growing inside you or something. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it is that, like, weird combination of the fact that we both live 100% in a future beyond our imagining and also live in fucking caveman time simultaneously. You know, like, Alex can straight up be like, there's, you know, God will, if you pray right, you'll get things, mm-hmm. you know? And then at the same time, a scientist is like, yeah, we know how to grow substrate. No big deal. We can grow things, you know, like, it's how can I live in that same? There's a story today that somebody got stoned for and it's like, what? You can't have growing substrate and stoning people on the same day.
I don't know. Did you ever, like, grow salt crystals when you were a kid in, like,
sure,
science class?
Sure, but that's a little different.
It's a little different.
It's a little different.
I think it might be close.
I just, we can't
conceptually.
I can't hang, man.
Yeah. It's a little disorienting. It's a tough in-between state that we live in today.
Especially since I don't understand either of them.
Yeah. So that's why we retreat to listening to Alex and being bewildered.
That's where we live.
So Alex has heard someone is not happy about the trucker folk. And this was a person who was like an undersecretary of some department. I don't remember. I don't even remember who this person is, quite frankly. But this lady got on CNN and tweeted also about how you should slash their tires and then move the trucks. And so Alex is really upset about these comments because he's super into this convoy.
Right.
I think he wants to make it his own. But his complaint about this woman seems to be largely centered around the idea that if you slash the tires, then you can't move the trucks.
See,
it seems to be him complaining about how
it's just a bad plan.
This woman doesn't know about trucks.
It's just a bad plan.
It's very bizarre.
The former deputy head of Homeland Security coming out on CNN and saying, slash the tires, also on Twitter. But you got to love this quote because it's oxymoronic. Slash the tires, arrest the drivers. Harvard professor and CNN analyst calls for violence against Freedom Convoy. But if you slash the tires, then you can't move the trucks. But she doesn't seem to understand that. She's just a Harvard professor, CNN analyst, former Obama administration Undersecretary of Homeland Security, Juliette Kayyem, has called for violence and vandalism against Freedom Convoy protesters who have amassed on the bridge that connects Detroit, Michigan to Windsor, Ontario. The Ambassador Bridge links 28% of annual trade movement between the U.S. and Canada, she tweeted. Slash the tires, empty gas tanks, arrest the drivers, and move the trucks. And in that order, the convoy protest applauded by right-wing media as a freedom protest is an economic and security issue now. The Ambassador Bridge link constitutes 28% of annual trade movement between the U.S. and Canada. Slash the tires, empty the gas tanks.
What voice is this?
Arrest the drivers.
This is garbage.
And move the trucks.
Start over.
No, it would be arrest the drivers, move the trucks. But that doesn't sound violent enough to you because you don't know anything about violence. You just know how to run your ugly piehole. Don't you, sweetheart?
It's so weird.
Wow.
It's so weird.
That's...
I mean, there's a misogyny in there, sure.
Oh, yeah, totally. No, naturally.
But he seems so hung up on the idea of if you slash the tires, you can't move the trucks.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
It seems to be how he's taking, like, the masculine high ground.
Right. Only a man would know how to move trucks is kind of what I'm getting out of this. Not, like, it's wrong to slash the tires and shit.
That should be kind of his larger position,
I think.
Yeah. There's also the sort of classic, or the classism aspect of it. This Harvard person doesn't know about truck tires.
Yeah.
And he can't move them if you slash the tires.
Right. So stupid.
Yeah,
but everybody's response to the convoy is somewhat stupid, because we're only trained to deal with protests or see the way protests are dealt with violence. Mm-hmm. And it's always fucking spray people with a hose. With these idiots, just dress somebody up like Hillary Clinton with a big sign and they'll chase her out of the goddamn place. Have her get in a car and drive away and they'll be like, we gotta get her. That'll be that. It's that simple.
I just had a great plan.
What's that?
Is C.W. McCall still alive?
There we go.
Because he might be the person
it's
who can...
Time. It's time to get him going.
Yeah.
Release him, the Kraken.
Have him just drive past, call everybody Rubber Duck, and
totally.
See if he can get him to follow.
Absolutely. This is not a violent situation. This is an outsmart the dum-dums. Come on, guys.
You need to bring in the legends of convoys to take care of this here sitch. Maybe get Burt Reynolds.
I think Burt Reynolds is the ultimate hero.
Yeah.
As is the case for most problems.
If somebody just ran through Ottawa yelling that they got smokies coming.
I swear to God, it would not need to be complex. And maybe it doesn't get everybody. Maybe some people are like, no, this is a trick. But there are going to be a lot of people who go. Mm-hmm. And you know it.
Yeah.
You know it, and I know it, and they know it.
It's a numbers game.
Yeah.
So... Alex spent a bit of time complaining about this order of slashing tires,
right.
Moving trucks.
Of course.
And unfortunately, that means that he did not have time to get to his actual point.
Ooh.
In that segment.
Oh, that's tough.
I didn't get to the main point this segment, I will, about the soft kill. And why the globalists have really got a big problem on their hands. You see, they needed to be able to have a total takeover by now, censor everybody, clamp down, and have new lockdowns in. So that in the future, when everybody starts dying, which is already happening, they can cover it up. Instead, they've lost control of the whole narrative, and people now know what they've done. So as the deaths mount, it's inevitable the globalists will pay.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter?
That'd be great. So it's fun how Alex didn't get to his main point because he got too distracted by his confusing complaints about tires.
Wow.
So here's the thing, though. Alex's point makes no sense. He's already said that the globalists have a plan B. So because I listened to Alex and I remember what he said, I know that if the globalists' plans are really as screwed as Alex is pretending they are, then they're just going to release a super bioweapon to kill everyone.
Right. We're all dead.
They would have preferred to have an orderly kill off.
It would have been nice.
You can't always get what you want,
it's
as
true.
I learned from watching House, because they played that song too many times.
That's too many times.
Yeah. I feel like ideas like this, and the way Alex began the show, talking about how it's time to shift into prosecutions, denotes a bit of a troubling possibility. I wouldn't be too surprised if the goal is to move the tone into more and more calls for violence against these imaginary enemies, and he'll use any deaths that end up happening to fuel that call. Obviously, there isn't going to be a mass dying off, but you've seen how folks like Alex have responded to celebrity deaths recently. Every elderly celebrity that dies must have been killed by the vaccine. They're just, you know, trying to hijack whatever emotional connection you might have with the celebrity and try and turn that into anger against the globalists for killing them. I suspect that you're going to see a lot Alex doing a lot of this in the future.
Yeah, that's the opening part. With him saying that we've declared victory and now it's time for tribunals and all of that shit. To me, anytime this kind of conversation on the far right happens of like, now it's time for trials, that's a week-long countdown to, well, trials will never work, it's time to kill them all. Yeah. You know, like, zero time.
Yeah, it's a countdown to, like, we have realized that our shit is absurd.
Yeah.
Joel Skousen has come around and reminded us that we only have conspiracy evidence of things, so we might as well get a shooting.
Ugh, it's stupid.
Yep, it's troubling. So Alex decides to call an audible on this episode. He was going to have some guests on. I have no idea who they are, but they got bumped.
Uh-oh.
And we're going to open the phones up today. I'm going to go ahead and just cancel the guests we've got. They're great guests. We're going to move the guests aside. And we're going to take calls in the second and third hour into the fourth hour today. And then Jay Dyer is going to be joining us. And I want to talk first when we open the phones up for the first round of callers to truckers in Canada and people there on the bridge or people there at the Capitol. And obviously we'll leave the lines open for Australians and folks in France and Belgium and people in New Zealand. It's the truckers leading the fight here.
Hell yeah. Let's get some truckers on the line.
Gotta get some truckers on the line.
So we'll see. We'll see if this pans out. Apologies to whoever, you know, planned to be on Alex's show, getting your message out. Did not end up happening.
I'm going to guess they canceled.
I'm going to guess there weren't anybody.
Well, there's booked. Definitely that possible.
So one of the things that Alex is really great at is predicting things.
Yes.
He's always right. Mm-hmm. He's never wrong because you just forget about the thousands of predictions that he makes that he just pretends he doesn't make.
He is psychic.
Well, here's one that didn't come true.
They'll probably attack them in the early morning hours, I would say, of Saturday evening, Sunday morning. If I had to guess the tactics, and they'll provocateur some as well. I imagine they'll car bomb a small car bomb, knowing the candidates.
What?
They won't blow up, you know, a daycare center and blame it on people. That's a little too much for their cops. But the Royal Mounted Police are going to detonate a car bomb or something, and say they did it. Yeah, that's coming next. So, of course, they may not do it because I just said what I would do if I was them. I mean, I'm in their heads. It's what I do. It's what I do here. That's not from a source. That's just how they always operate before they launch a major operation. It's a false flag. That's what bad guys do. Okay.
Okay. So, yep.
That great.
Didn't. We're recording this on Sunday.
Didn't happen. Well, I mean, the cops asked them politely to go, mm-hmm. and then most of them went.
Well, there was an injunction.
Didn't. Yeah. Yeah.
And that didn't clear things out entirely.
No.
No false flag car bomb.
Nope.
Although I do like how he's insulting Canada. Like, you guys couldn't pull off
Oklahoma City.
Come on,
the Mounties don't bomb daycares, the cowards.
That's pretty...
Is that what he's trying to do?
I think he's trying to say that our police and our, you know, globalist arm or
right.
whatever, they pulled off Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
That's big time stuff.
Yeah.
You guys could maybe do a car bomb.
Look, if you want to turn Ottawa into the Northern Ireland border circa 1995, fine. Great. But you don't have the guts to do OKC. You don't.
That's a strange way to frame it.
Yeah.
So Alex goes to break and comes back, and we got a special report from John Bowne. And we're not going to listen to much of it, but just the beginning of it caught my ear, and I was like, fuck you, man.
Neil Young is a tool of the cult of the left. What kind of an ass writes a song called Keep On Rockin' in the Free World and proceeds to become the loathsome antithesis of the song?
Hey, John, that song's a little tongue-in-cheek. The song was...
Wow, man.
Yeah. The second verse of that song is about a woman who abandons her child on the streets to go get drugs.
Right.
Yeah, she hates her life and what she's done to it. There's one more kid that'll never go to school, never get to fall in love, never get to be cool.
Yeah.
Keep on rocking in the free world.
Yeah. I'm starting to get the feeling that... For most of the things that conservatives get very, very angry about, mm-hmm. they have not done a close reading on.
Well, it's almost like John Bowne is responding to this song by its title, like Alex, his articles and the headlines. You know?
Substance isn't really his focus there.
Right.
Just like how Born in the USA is about how great it is to be born in the USA. That's what it's about.
Yep.
Because it's the title.
I would guess that there is somewhere a John Bowne report about that.
Yeah.
About how Bruce Springsteen's...
Born in the USA is.
No, because Springsteen was a target of InfoWars for
true.
A little while.
That's true.
Because he made that commercial.
Once again.
He made that fucking car
that's
commercial.
That's right. Oh, my God. What is wrong with
us? They were
mad
at Springsteen about that. I think it was a Super Bowl commercial.
It was a Super Bowl commercial like 2 years ago.
Yeah. They were mad about him. So I'm sure John Bowne did a video, and he's like, how could somebody who made Born in the USA do this? Yeah.
Oh,
do this
God.
To us. How could he wrong
what
us?
What kind of monster?
Yep. So Alex has caught some news.
Uh-huh.
He's pretty worried about it.
I have had a chance to read the Declaration of Emergency by the globalist New World Order alumnus of Klaus Schwab over the state, the province of Ontario, Canada, that Ottawa, the capital, geographically resides in, and it's martial law. $100,000 fine, a year in prison. And the way it's sold is, if you block a bridge. But it actually says, if you block any road that an ambulance might be trying to go down. So, you blocked a road, ambulance can't go down it, you're going to go to jail.
Even if everything Alex was saying were true, that's not martial law. But you look very confused.
I'm furious.
Why is that?
He supported the laws that the right wrote where it's like if... the left blocks a road, you can hit him with your car.
He was pretty into that.
He was super into that.
Yeah. Yep. hypocrisy is not really all that important,
no,
but
that's fair.
I agree with your sentiment.
That's fair.
But like I was saying, this isn't martial law, no matter what.
No,
it might be like a tight clampdown on protesters, but it doesn't even come close to the definition of martial law. But that's fine for Alex and the audience, because in InfoWars land, martial law is a term that describes a feeling. It's a feeling of whenever a government does something you don't like.
I don't feel like I can do whatever I want right now, and
law.
It's probably because the government declared martial law.
So there's two things that are going on here. Mm. The first is that Ottawa Mayor Jim Watson declared a state of emergency within the city on February 6th. Then on Friday the 11th, Ontario Premier Doug Ford also declared a state of emergency for the province because people were setting up the blockades at the border crossings that are outside Ottawa. Alex didn't read any statement or emergency order, but he probably watched Doug Ford's short speech where he said this, quote, "Today I'm using my authority as Premier of Ontario to declare a state of emergency in our province, and I will convene cabinet to use legal authorities to urgently enact orders that will make crystal clear it is illegal and punishable to block and impede the movements of goods, people, and services along critical infrastructure. This will include protecting international border crossings, 400 series highways, airports, ports, bridges, and railways. It will also include protecting the safe movement of ambulatory and medical services, public transit, municipal and provincial roadways, as well as pedestrian walkways. Fines for noncompliance will be severe, with a maximum penalty of $100,000 and up to a year imprisonment. We will also provide additional authority to consider taking away the personal and commercial licenses of anyone who doesn't comply with these orders." So this is a temporary order, but also I don't agree with Alex's interpretation, but I think this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
I don't agree with this move.
No.
Because you don't really need to have any further laws.
No, you've already got the laws.
Yeah, it's illegal to block traffic already.
Yeah.
I mean, you could at least get a ticket.
No.
If you don't stop doing
it. It's important to do this now, so whenever somebody who is non-white, a person of color, does something like this, you can put them in jail for a year and fine them $100,000.
I think...
And then the Ottawa convoy will get along very nicely.
I think you run the risk of that.
Yeah.
That potential of that being a precedent that's used against other protesters.
It's always worked.
Right. And I think that it's unnecessary. We don't have a problem of lack of laws. We have a problem of this isn't being handled.
You guys not doing anything.
Yeah, just like you let this go for too long, and now it's a bit too big of a problem for you to handle.
I'm sorry. I understand that I'm in control of the government. I understand that we do all this stuff, but my hands are tied, really. A bunch of idiots blocked the convoy, and there's just nothing we can do. What are we supposed to do? Nothing.
Yeah, I don't
right?
know.
Nah.
I don't know. So, Alex, I'm going to skip this clip because it's just Alex suggesting that the protest should shift to being about trying Klaus Schwab and, of course, executing him for his crimes
Throw
against
that
humanity.
One up there.
I can imagine that
it's a big swing for a single protest to do.
Definitely. And I think, again, this exacerbates the problem of there being really no coherent through line between about what this is about.
Right.
You add in Trudeau resign, murder the head of the World Economic Forum.
Right. Now, is this really the right place to be rabble-rousing to attack Klaus Schwab?
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, where is Klaus Schwab currently?
Probably somewhere in Europe.
Probably somewhere in Europe,
yeah.
Right? And he's usually in Europe,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, and I could be wrong.
Sure.
But I don't think a few hundred people causing problems at the border of Ottawa and the United States are really going to have a big effect on how Europe feels about mailing Klaus Schwab's dead body to us.
What if the auto manufacturers get really desperate?
Ooh, that is a good point. They might have to kidnap Klaus Schwab. General Motors.
Huh? Yeah, General Motors. I served under him.
Yeah, exactly.
If anyone could get Schwab, it's General Motors.
He's got the strength. He's got the fighting force behind him.
Yeah. I think it is the exact audience you would want to sell this to, though. That's like that. It seems like these folks have they're all on board.
Right.
Great reset nonsense.
Totally.
So they are the kind of people who maybe you could get to actually like cheer let's get Schwab.
Yeah, I mean, no, the everybody's embraced absurdity to the point where, yeah, why not have a bunch of people in Ottawa chanting "Kill Klaus Schwab"?
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Yeah. So Alex is going to take some calls, and he's called for the trucker folk to call in, but there's a little bit of a problem, and that is too many non-truckers called in.
Ooh.
Hey, I'm not trying to be mean here to the listeners. I love you to death. And Norman, when we open the phones up, it's just a free-for-all. But when I specifically want to talk to a group of people in a different geographic area or a particular group that are on the ground seeing something, we need everybody not to be calling in. Because the call screener, we don't normally screen calls other than where you're calling from and you have a good phone line, but he does screen calls when I want it on a particular topic or a particular region. And so we're unable to get the truckers to get through because the phone lines are all maxed out.
Sure.
With people that are not truckers in Canada or truckers in the U.S. or truckers in Australia. Truckers, period, that are taking part of this or your view on it. And I want to get your quick take on the situation because a civil emergency has been announced by the evil globalist Doug Ford.
Alex has said before, I believe, that he has like thousands of call lines now.
Yeah.
Like it's all digital and stuff, yeah. Like the board. So maybe he's had to scale back. But yeah, your response to that was very similar to mine of like, this sounds like nobody called in.
Nobody called in.
Yeah.
Nobody from the convoy is calling in.
I felt that way. He does end up getting a couple self-identified truckers.
Yeah, from
the I think
convoy.
One of them was there.
Okay.
One of them was there, but then he had to leave because he had to work, and so he's like going back and forth, like doing shifts.
Sure. Okay.
That guy seemed cool.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't remember anything about him actually, but Alex has two calls that he has to get to first.
Mm-hmm.
That's because they were on the line when the show ended yesterday, and so Alex took their number and he's called them back.
Oh, okay. I was assuming they were still on the line.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. Some of these weirdos. So here's the first one. This was worth calling back in about.
With the world awakening, I think it's important that we ride the momentum right now, take advantage of this moment. And I've come up with an idea that's something everybody can do, that every listener can do. I think it'd be powerful and effective for us to hang banners over highways. Imagine a giant banner in Houston or LA or Atlanta that says, Alex Jones is right, Infowars.com, or we stand with the truckers, arrest Fauci. Or whatever. It's
Brother, I'm so glad you called. Elaborate on this. Yes. Now is the time in your small town or your big city to write something on the bathroom wall or to put a sign up on your barn or to put a sticker on your car or banner hangs over highways and it will be a chain reaction. Beautifully said. What do you recommend people say on these banner hangs?
I have a few ideas. First of all, Alex Jones is running Infowars.com.
Ooh, how fun. This is good marketing. Although, here's the thing I love. First of all, this is not a fresh idea.
No. He invented putting banners over the highways. I've seen people put styrofoam cups in the fences, but that's just that's minor leagues
this is
compared
to another
a banner.
Level.
Yeah.
This is not setting the world on fire with innovation.
No.
Also, this is something that tends to get out of hand, and people end up putting really offensive shit on those flyers.
I've never seen a Nazi. No.
And then the second thing that I love about this is that this caller is saying, like, hey, you got to put these banners up on the highway, and Alex downgrades it to bathroom graffiti.
Yep. He was really willing to start from the bottom. He was like, you know what? I don't know if we're ready for banners yet.
For a good time, go to bam.video.
Sir, you don't seem to even have a message to put on a banner. That's expensive. Get yourself a Sharpie. Mm-hmm. Practice.
Yeah.
Bathroom after bathroom. Mm-hmm. Refine your message.
Yeah. The first few aren't going to be good.
They're not going to have it, and they're probably going to be too long.
First couple bathrooms are your open mics.
Absolutely.
You're trying to get the message
together. You want to edit down. You want to make sure you got your timing right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to come back and make sure people haven't given you notes.
Yeah, absolutely. Who's walking around with a red marker giving you little paragraph breaks? Come on.
So this caller, Alex, is pretty excited about. He enjoys this discussion of obviously free promotion for
how right he
is about everything.
He's right about everything.
And so we learned that something that we have been tracking for the better part of 3 years is finally about to happen.
Brother, that's why I love taking calls and why I should take more calls and why very soon we're going to start at least two nights a week and once on the weekend on top of the Sunday show, a commercial-free podcast that's live so everybody can call in and we'll just hear from all of you amazing people. God bless you, Chris.
Finally going to get that caller show.
I'm telling you right now, I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, if past is prelude, we're going to hear about how it's about to start in about 6 months.
In the weekends. Yeah. On the weekend, any moment now, you're going to start a live podcast where people can call in.
Yep. Can't wait.
I'm excited.
Yep.
Any moment now.
So Alex believes that everyone thinks he's a hero.
Right.
Because he's standing for the people who are standing up in Canada. He's standing with the people who are against Fauci and the vaccines and what have you all over the world.
Right.
But he's not a hero.
No.
Well, I mean, obviously. But he is saying that he's not a hero.
Oh, okay.
And see if you can track this, because this is like, I found this to be incredibly convoluted.
All right.
So think of them as like aliens, folks, that are attacking and taking over other cities and countries. We're next. People ask me, like, Australians send us letters, handwritten ones. We get called, wow, you're so nice, you care about us. Well, you're damn right I care about you. Frickin' Klaus Schwab took your country over. He's trying to take mine over. I got children. So it's very important for everybody to get this through your head. I'm not doing this because I'm a hero. I'm not doing this because then people think, well, that's just what heroes do. No, it's called self-preservation. You know, if I see somebody on fire, I'm going to try to put them out. Because that's what I want people to put me out.
Okay. So Alex is trying to stress this point that he's not a hero, and he's just doing what he does out of self-preservation. Like, if they take down Canada, Texas is next.
Right.
Obviously, this is just a preamble for a sales pitch, and it does end up coming immediately after this.
Yeah.
But it's also just inconsistent. Alex compares the situation to how he would put out someone who was on fire because that's what he would want someone to do for him, which is a completely different motivation than self-preservation. Putting someone out because you would want them to put you out if you were on fire is actually pretty, you know, it's a benevolent, fairly heroic act. You might want to impugn your own motives and say you're acting selfishly because you think you'll get something out of it, but you're saving someone solely because you believe that people should help each other. That clip legitimately would only make sense if Alex was saying that he would put someone out because, you know, he was afraid that they might catch him on fire.
Right.
Then it would still be premised on self-preservation. As it stands, this is just a muddled mess. And that is me nitpicking.
Yeah. I mean, in Alex's world, though, any kind of thing that could happen to somebody else, somebody is planning to make happen to him, you know, like the idea, him thinking about somebody just in the abstract being lit on fire has this moment immediately afterwards, like, and the globalists want to light me on fire.
Of course.
Well. Exactly like that. So I'm going to save that guy because what if the globalists light me on fire, which they're going to do?
Well, my feeling about it is more that he's like, all right, I do think I'm a hero,
right.
But I got to make sure that people don't think I'm a hero because this is leading to a sales pitch.
All I'm trying to say I do what heroes do.
I'm going
to
say some incoherent, inconsistent shit about how I'm not a hero because it's self-preservation.
Right.
And also, I would want someone to put me out if I was on fire.
Sure.
All right.
Give me money.
So, look, I think that the language is shifting. I've noted this a couple times on this episode, and it's because I think that I sense this a little bit more. There is a strain of, we have won, and now it is time for vengeance.
Right.
And that is troubling.
That's not good.
Well, that's beautifully said, but I want to be clear. They started this war. They killed 40 million people with starvation. They caused millions to commit suicide or die in drug overdoses. We're peacefully doing this. So if they false flag or do a car bomb or shoot some cops, we know we didn't do it, and we're not buying into it. We're not apologizing for whatever happens because they started this. And whatever happens, no more apologies. Not by me, by Joe Rogan, by nobody. I pledge to you, no more apologies.
Nope. I'm with you, brother.
That's troubling.
No more apologies.
No more apologies, and they started it.
Right.
This imaginary villain cabal that Alex is up against.
Mm-hmm.
They started it, and they committed all these horrific, obvious war crimes, crimes against humanity, against us.
Right.
And then if, you know, they get attacked or something, it's a false flag. So we know we didn't do it. So we have the moral authority,
Natural.
No matter what happens, and we will not apologize.
Right.
Like, this is all just very, I mean, it's the kind of stuff that could be taken in a particular way.
Well, it seems odd considering his earlier comments would suggest that he obviously would like people to apologize to him when they are in the wrong. So it seems only reasonable that he would apologize to other people when he's in the wrong.
No more apologies.
Well, then I don't think he's entitled to any apologies any further.
I think part of it, part of this might be influenced by Rogan.
Yeah.
Putting out an apology.
I'm sorry for saying the N-word all the time. It wasn't that many times.
Yeah, I think Alex might be having a tough time with that.
Yeah.
And I think the way he's dealing with it, some people, you know, might have seen that and been a little bit disillusioned. Maybe some people would have been disappointed in Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Alex seems to want to do some counterproductive PR for Rogan.
You know how great it is that Rogan says the N-word? I think it's great all the time. I don't know why everybody's mad.
You're not far
don't
off.
Don't tell me I'm not far off.
And you know, Joe came out. I didn't know I was at a secret show he invited me to Sunday night. It was in Hollywood Reporter and something that was a secret comedy show he did. He did another one Tuesday night and said, you know, he told you what I said on Monday, he said to everybody, he said, I am not apologizing to the big corporations and everybody that wants to take me off the air just because they're jealous. I'm apologizing for using the N-word because if you watch that edited tape, it's hurtful the way they edited it. And I'm saying if people think I was doing that to be mean, I apologize. I didn't do that to hurt people. That is not an apology. That is a clarification to say, hey, I watched that. It was a horrible tape the way they edited it. And so if that hurt your feelings, I'm sorry if you're legitimately your feelings are hurt. Because, I mean, you do watch it. It's a little exorbitant, 3 minutes of the N-word over and over again.
Yes,
I don't like words
that is exorbitant.
A class of people.
Alex doesn't like words that hurt a class of people. I blurt laughed at that when I was listening to the episode. I was like, how dare you?
No, he doesn't like words.
That hurt a class of people.
Yeah, a class of people. A large grouping of people with a certain...
Let me tell you.
Similar identifying characteristics.
Let me tell you, if I made a supercut of the times that Alex has used words that are meant to hurt classes of people...
It would be a lot longer than 3 minutes.
You bet.
Oh, it'd be way longer than three
yes.
minutes.
This is weird. I mean, just leaving aside the fact that Joe was absolutely apologizing.
Was he?
Whether or not it was a good apology or not is another question.
I didn't watch it, but
it was a little long.
I mean, the way Alex characterized it, he is right. That is not an apology. To say, I'm sorry if you were offended by something I said, that is, you made a mistake.
No.
I'm not. I'm happy.
I am not here to, decide whether or not his apology was sufficient or heartfelt. That's not a decision I'm here to make. He did express that this word was something that I didn't realize how inappropriate it was for me to say in the context that I said it in when I was talking to my friends, talking about Richard Pryor albums or whatever, and then being like, I now realize that is absolutely not okay.
Then that's an apology.
In context or out of context, it's not okay at all.
No,
I didn't have that understanding then, and I do now.
Yeah, yeah.
It is an apology, whether or not it's good, because there's also some problems with it. It's a little, a little bit of dumbness.
No doubt.
But yeah, it's not what Alex is expressing. But look, man, when Alex was growing up,
he said the N-word all the time.
He
never said it.
Andy never heard it.
Get the fuck out!
I never heard in East Texas, which is the South, people use the N-word. Because we're Christians, and anyone that uses that's trashy and is trying to put somebody down and feel bigger about yourself. Well, I'm not trying to put down common people, whether they be black or white. But then when it becomes a weaponized word, people need to take it back and use it. And that just happened with a big UFC fighter, a black UFC fighter. And he said, Joe Rogan's my N-word. And I'm sick of this crap because he understands they're using it to divide people and to control people. And it's a load of crap.
Yeah. See, Alex is wanting to reclaim the N-word.
You know, I've always thought, but my first thought about people whenever I've heard the N-word, how trashy that is. I prefer a more high-class form of racism, thank you very much.
That was a strange way for Alex to claim that he'd never heard this word used, because he was Christian?
Yep.
And that's trashy.
Yeah.
Strange. I don't believe any
of this.
Very
strange.
But look, Alex, when he was younger, he wore a silly shirt, or maybe a shirt that had colors that led kids to mock him.
Sure.
And he just said, ha-ha.
Yeah.
Ha-ha.
He's immune to mockery.
Indeed.
Yes, of course.
as so much of his career attests.
Yeah, we've proven that.
look, this has to do with Joe somehow.
Okay.
I mean, I remember being like going to public school the first few years, and I went to private school a few years. I remember coming back in like sixth grade to public school, and some of the flunky kids were like making fun of my shirt. So it was like pink and green kind of plaid shirt my mom had given me. I forget the name we call it, like where it's pink and orange and red squares. And it's like a summertime or spring shirt. They were going, look at his weenie, look at his wimpy shirt.
What?
And I remember thinking, my mom got me the shirt. I like this shirt. I'm not embarrassed, and laughing at them. And they started laughing too. But I mean, I guess that's just how I am. I don't mind being attacked because it doesn't mean anything to me. But at the same time, Joe was simply saying, if something hurts your feelings, that's okay. I'm sorry that this hurt you, but he's not sorry for what he said. We'll be right back.
Okay, this is weird. Like, Alex seems to be going out of his way to make a point that Rogan didn't apologize for saying the N-word over and over again on his show.
Right.
And that's strange because Joe did.
Right.
He did release a 6-minute video where he's unequivocal about how he's sorry and how it doesn't matter if using the word is in context or out of context, it's bad no matter what. Here is, like, the end of his apology.
My hope is that, look, I can't go back in time and change what I've said. I wish I could. Obviously, that's not possible. But I do hope that this can be a teachable moment for anybody that doesn't realize how offensive that word can be coming out of a white person's mouth in context or out of context. My sincere and humble apologies. I wish there was more that I could say, but all of this is just me talking from the bottom of my heart. It makes me sick watching that video, but hopefully at least some of you will accept this and understand where I'm coming from. My apologies and much love. My sincere, deepest apologies and much love.
He said my apologies and then had to up it at the end. My sincerest.
Sincere, deepest. Yeah.
I think that there's some problems with this apology, mostly because it's not accurate to how Joe actually used the word on his show.
Mm.
He claims he never wanted to be offensive for entertainment value, but I don't think that accurately holds up. If you consider some of the times he uses like fairly offensive language, it's clearly for the shock and offensiveness
of
it.
Of course.
Sometimes there's just, you know, basking and saying transgressive words, and he does not really deal with that in that apology.
Mm-mm.
And then, of course, there's a very confusing explanation for his racist Planet of the Apes story. But that's another matter, and we talked about that clip back when Alex was using it against him during the Sneaky Snake period.
Amazing.
When Alex used these exact attacks.
So funny.
Yeah. So when Joe wasn't letting Alex back on his podcast, Alex was pretending to be really offended by Joe's Planet of the Apes story, because all this stuff is a game to Alex.
It doesn't matter. He doesn't care.
So now, Alex's comments leave me with two possible conclusions. One, Alex is making up Joe telling him that he didn't apologize, and this is Alex trying to save face with his racist-slash-free-speech-obsessed audience. Rogan is his means of presenting himself as relevant to the mainstream, and Rogan becomes irrelevant to Alex's audience if he backs down to pressure like this and doesn't stand up for racism-slash-free-speech. Alex is trying to protect Joe from the backlash that reality would cause in his audience. Two, second possibility, Joe did actually tell Alex this stuff, and his apology video was just bullshit that he didn't mean. He was trying to protect the brand and not lose the Spotify deal, so he did what he had to do, and he made a boilerplate apology video, all while reassuring Alex behind the scenes that he totally defends racism/free speech.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to see a third explanation for Alex's steadfast insistence that Joe definitely didn't apologize when he totally did.
Yeah.
It's strange. Yeah.
That is, I mean, listen, semantically, that is an apology.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how words work, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So you can't really argue with that. So mm-hmm. that is an apology.
And there is an appearance of giving some thought to it.
Yeah.
Like, more than some apologies you hear, there does appear to be a wrestling with some of it.
Yeah, it does seem, again, more like we're living in different time periods, you know? Like, he's coming at us from 1950s men being like, if you did not know this, the N-word can be used in a hurtful manner. Now, all of my friends and I, we have never heard of this before, but I have suddenly discovered, so I hope this can be a teachable moment for all of you out there who had no clue that using the N-word could be offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I
real shocker.
I do think that there are some people who may need to have that teachable lesson, and if Rogan's going to deliver it, maybe that's a way that it could get through to them.
Again, that's what I'm saying, though. That's because they're living in the 1950s.
It's very confusing to me. I don't know what it is, but it just feels like Alex trying to control Joe's narrative for him in a way, and I don't know why you'd do that.
I mean, I think because you want it both ways. You know, you want Joe to have his Spotify deal. You want him to continue to be in the mainstream. And if he is in the mainstream, he has to apologize. There's no way for him to continue.
But if he apologizes and it's clear to your audience, then...
Exactly.
That's trouble.
So you have to say that his apology is not an apology. And you have to say that Joe will say that his apology is an apology. And everybody is happy because the status quo is restored. And we can do this all again in 3 or 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. Everybody wins. The media, Alex, Joe, and the only people who lose are everyone on the fucking planet.
And if Alex feels the need to go back on Joe's show and Joe won't let him, he'll use these clips against
him
again in the future.
Exactly.
It's a lot of fun.
We get to do it all the time.
So anyway, Alex did get a couple calls from truckers. They were uneventful.
Okay.
But he also is going to need to preempt these truckers.
Of course.
All right. There's not much on my show that can preempt awesome truck drivers and activists facing jail time and huge fines to stand up for all of our medical rights. But I'll have to get to you next segment. This trumps it. Nuclear war trumps it. It's kind of like the highest card in the deck is nuclear war. That's like the ace of spades. And then below that, you've got, I guess, the ace of clubs, is it?
What is happening?
So we're going to get to all the callers that are holding Jay in Ohio and Josh in Canada and Seth and Andy and Clayton and David in the order that they're received. But I've got to go ahead and hit this. This was already in my stack, but now there's been new developments, so... Here we are. Joe Biden already said, quote, in an interview today that aired today, that's a world war. And Biden tells America to leave
Ukraine,
to
know.
Shoots down reports of evacuation, and says we're in a war with Russia. And that's pretty sensational, but he has a lot of trouble talking.
So Alex isn't taking this comment that Biden made in context.
Oh, you don't think?
No. Mm. This was Biden saying that he wouldn't send troops into Ukraine to rescue Americans left there if they chose to stay in the country because, quote, that's a world war when Americans and Russia start shooting at one another.
Yes.
A lot of the rhetoric flying around from the government seems a bit over the top, and honestly, I'm not sure what the exact strategy is here, but it's critical to understand that when Biden said that's a world war... That was being used as an explanation for why he wasn't going to do something.
I do love that malicious level of misquoting is just like, hey, listen, we're not going to do this dumb thing. If we did something that stupid, that's a world war. Quote, Biden, that's a world war. Mm-hmm. Let it begin. Jesus, man.
Yep.
Wow.
So Alex is completely misreporting this comment because he's just seen the headline that says Biden said that's a world war. He has no context for the comment, so he's telling his audience that Biden has come out and said we're at war with Russia. And then Alex has the nerve to claim that Biden's comment was sensational when most of the sensationalism is coming from Alex's unwillingness to read. It's ridiculous.
You don't leave Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a world war.
I was thinking it's more like when the moon hits your eye. That's a world war.
That's a world war.
Yeah. I couldn't come up with the second line.
Mm.
Maybe we could have a contest.
If you come up with a better line, please write it on your nearest bathroom stall.
Indeed.
Absolutely. Somebody go around,
Alex,
pick those
up.
Alex
does contests all the time. Yeah. We've never done a contest.
We've never done one on a bathroom stall either.
Let's not have this be the first one.
Fair enough.
So, look, they're starting this world war.
Mm-hmm.
World war is happening.
That's a world war?
Hey, it's in the news. And Alex believes that it's kind of because the trucker convoy was too successful.
Yes, I'm sure,
now,
of course.
If you put this together with all the other pieces that would take an hour to go through, I'm just going to give you the answer from my view, rather than rattle off all of why I think that, because it would take the whole show, what we've got left. But here's one big slice of the equation, why we know this, and why this is so bad and so horrible, and even has me having an anxiety attack right now, because I love my children, I love peace, I love justice, and... You know, if you think they're just going to let us beat them on this whole lockdown thing and go away, you're crazy. They're going to start a damn war. I just cannot believe we're this cursed. My God. Sorry. Oh, my God. These people make me sick.
Mm. Oh, so real.
Yeah, so real.
His emotion smoldering.
I will say that I think that this does throw him into chaos for the rest of the show.
Yeah?
He is fucked up for the rest of the show. I don't know what happened, but he gets real weird.
Great.
It's been a fairly normal Alex-y show so far. There's the ambition to talk to truckers, the call problem with getting truckers on the line.
Not mad at the crew.
Got a couple of them, and then we're going to preempt them because of this breaking news.
There's a nuclear war. That's a war.
Yeah, yeah. So Alex is like, I knew this was coming.
Of course.
I told you guys back in August.
He's literally psychic.
And what did I tell you back in November, October, even before that? Hell, that was in August. I was sitting there. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole story, but I was told by multiple high-level sources, as high-level as it gets in the military and in corporate world, I mean, the top, that they were told January, February, all-out war with Russia. Because all the big guys get prepositioned. You think Congress is involved in insider trading? They get stuff, you know, way later, okay? So that's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, I hope Joel Scouse is right. I hope nothing happens here. But imagine the Russians get attacked, and then it's just the default they're lying. No, no, you attacked yourself. We should not just believe the Russians. We should want to see proof. We should have international observers there.
Ooh, now Alex wants international observers.
Oh, we're all very interested in the UN.
This sounds like
getting in
this
there.
This is globalist shit.
I can't believe
about?
That. Get the fuck out of here.
Alex.
Throw a baseball at him.
So I don't believe that Alex has any of these high-level sources or anything, but I actually wouldn't be too surprised if someone told him at the beginning of fall last year that there might be trouble with Russia in early 2022. The reason for that is that last June, NATO had the Brussels summit, where it was reiterated that Ukraine was on the path to joining and that there wasn't anything that Russia could do to block that process from an internal perspective.
Right.
I could see this news reaching Alex by about August through one of his associates, and maybe they would look back to 2008 when the Bucharest summit happened and then Georgia was affirmed as being on the path to NATO membership, and then a few months later, war broke out. It wouldn't be a terribly hard prediction to make, though I'm not 100% sure it's a prediction that'll end up being correct this time.
Right.
But if you're looking at the history of this, then you could see some aggression coming from Russia in the face of one of these NATO summits, where a country where they've explicitly said they cannot join NATO is affirmed as joining.
Right.
I don't know. I don't, it's weird because I don't actually believe that that's impossible for someone to have told Alex in August of last year.
Yeah.
I think it's possible.
Yeah.
A lot of the times I don't believe anything he's saying.
Right.
I think he might have possibly heard this.
I mean, he wouldn't, you know, in 2000, it wasn't like anybody had never been like, hey, I think Osama bin Laden's probably trying to do something.
Right.
You know, like, well, yeah, because he already did, and he's that type of guy.
Yeah.
He's not a quitter, you know?
Sure. There's patterns.
Yeah. You can see it.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to skip over and
that's my eulogy for Osama bin Laden. Wasn't a quitter.
So I'm going to skip over. I'm going to be a quitter. And I'm going to skip over an interview with someone from The Rebel. Lady by the name of Sheila Gunn Reid. Yeah. Gunn. Middle name. She's
born for this.
She's pretending to be a journalist, and she is not.
Mm.
She is basically a press spokesperson for the convoy. And it's nonsense. More important, though. Alex goes to more calls, and this guy might have broken Alex's brain. He supports the convoys because of God.
You know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, you know.
Oh,
I don't fear that at all. If I get arrested on Saturday, so be it. I'm doing this for freedom at the end of the day, so I don't care at all.
You're right, and everybody's been calling in with that quote. I want to make a t-shirt that says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I want that on the back, and then Ephesians, and above it, you know, join the resistance, InfoWars.com, because this is a spiritual fight. And none of this makes sense until you realize that the people serving this are literally demonically inspired. You look at Governor Whitmer of Michigan. She looks like a freaking jack-o'-lantern. She doesn't just act like one. You can look at her and see that is a demon.
I got to say, I kind of agree with Alex that none of this makes sense unless you take in all that other stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
Unless you add in a bizarre sci-fi mystical novel aspect to reality that is just made up as Alex goes along as he sees fit. Yeah, none of it does make sense without it. Yeah, totally.
Man, I mean, I hate it. I hate it. But like, if that's what that guy's really all about, if he's out here fighting for freedom, then do that where a fight for freedom needs to happen, as opposed to where some asshole has lied you into believing that freedom is being fought right now.
Yeah.
You know? Like, what are we doing? Either you're a giant monster racist or you're fighting for freedom, you know, whatever.
I think it's easy to make the wrong choice on what protest you might go to. I don't want to beat somebody up too hard for it, but no. I do want to say that if you do go to any protest, bad to assume that the people you're there protesting against are literal demons.
Right.
Don't think that's going to be a productive protest.
It's not going to help.
At that point.
It's not going to help.
No. Mm-mm. So this next clip is just labeled, Alex is a lunatic.
Anything else, Josh?
Yeah, you know, the truckers are heroes and everything, but true freedom comes in Christ. Just remember that. So God bless you, Alex. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you. Absolutely. Christ is everything, folks. It's real. They hate God. They hate Jesus. That's how you know it's real. All over the world throughout history, they hate Christians. And who's going to oppose their Mark of the Beast world government? Christians. And
not according to the Bible.
We are going to go through this. We're going to have a toe-to-toe battle with Satan's minions. It says, off-world programming people, interdimensionally, you can't see it, but you can't see hardly anything of the full spectrum of reality. And they're here, folks. There's God that made the universe. There's God's angels, God's servants. And then there's the bad guys. That's what we're dealing with, folks. And they want to hurt people. They see you as an enemy. They're an enemy military that has to interdimensionally get you to kill yourself or hurt yourself or chop your child's genitals off.
Sure.
Like, who would come up with that? Well, read the Bible. That's demons. I mean, they want to hurt our boys and girls. It's all about hurting our children because they see that. They have that rage because there's a potential in a child to do anything, to build a whole new universe. I mean, we're made in the image of God. And they see that and they're like, oh, my gosh, we don't like something made in the image of the Creator. We're not this powerful, but we're older and we have knowledge. So we're gonna manipulate and twist this person, this spirit, into joining us. It's the ultimate sick joke.
So, I mean, you hear clips like that, and it really makes you think about, like, I was scrolling around Twitter, and I saw somebody had posted a clip of Tim Pool, and he was talking about how Alex Jones is just as good of a reporter as anybody on CNN. He's a journalist.
Yeah.
He's been right about all kinds of stuff. He's on the ball. And, like,
interdimensionally, at least.
I just want people to own this. Like, if you're going to vouch for Alex, know what his fucking show is and know that what you're doing is backing a lunatic fundamentalist. I dare not even call him a Christian fundamentalist.
No, absolutely not.
Because he
absolutely not.
Wears a hat that says Christian, but his actual belief system is bizarre.
He wears a tinfoil hat that says Christian.
Right.
That's what we're looking at here.
Right.
Yeah.
And I just want people to have a better understanding of, like, I know it's fun and edgy and you feel like you're countercultural in some way to say, like, no, actually, Alex is he's really good at his job. And, you know, people give him a bad shake because of X, Y, or Z. No. He gives himself a bad shake.
Yeah.
This isn't launderable.
Yeah, no, I mean, nobody does Alex more of a favor than everybody who reports on Alex and is just like, I mean, I can't work with this, you know? Let's do the thing that's relevant to today. Let's pull from his show what's relevant to today so it looks like the entirety of his show is relevant to today.
Sure.
As opposed to, let's pull from the show that's relevant, and then let's pull from him decrying how interdimensional demons are going to take over Governor Whitmer's soul.
And have,
because she looks like one.
Right. And the other thing, too, is that, like, I do think that none of these people actually have watched his show. People like a Tim Pool character, like, if not actually engaged with the material that he's putting out or spent the time to listen to this dog shit show.
Right.
They see the clips that, like, maybe get posted by Right Wing Watch or something.
Sure.
And then they come up with a way to make an explanation for why it's not as crazy as it sounds.
Right.
Or maybe it's politically similar to something they believe about how Trump is great.
Right.
Or something. And
right.
then it's like, you know what, Alex? You know, he was all like Trump was right about Russia stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, hey, listen to his actual show before you get into this, because it's totally unacceptable, I think. And you hear stuff like this, as people are like, yeah, he's a good journalist.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing that they do with Trump, is you create a fictional version of this person in order to serve your own purposes. You know, mm-hmm. if nobody on the far right is like, listen, I understand that Trump has some problems. For instance, he steals a bunch of money from everybody who's ever worked for him.
Wow.
He steals a bunch of money from everybody who hasn't worked for
him. Well.
He takes a bunch of money from people who are murdering other people.
Meh.
He's an evil guy. But, you know, he was on TV for a while. He's pretty good at it.
That's true.
Have you seen The Apprentice? You gotta see it.
I think you could have a very similar breakdown for Alex.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. But without watching his show, you're not aware of all of those things that are like the real things that you're really promoting and you're cozying up to and sort of selling to your audience in a deceitful package.
Yeah.
And I find that to be repulsive.
Yep.
Anyway, look, the globalists are losing. We're going to get back to spirituality here in a minute,
mm-hmm.
but the globalists are losing.
Sure.
They're losing.
Well, I mean, we are ahead by 50, but again, last shot is worth 51 points.
And they have like 50 different balls that could shoot into that
they
basket.
They can shoot it from anywhere.
I could put a trillion different data points into this, and we could talk all day about those points, but just know this. We're winning. Things aren't going well for the globalists. They had some contingency plans, and they kind of had it baked into the cake that we'd resist, but they are crapping their bitches right now. Now,
crapping their bitches.
Don't get all confident on me yet, because you know they got a bunch of tricks up their sleeves. But as long as we know what their tricks are, cyber blackouts, wars,
fake
new
field
viruses,
goals,
currency collapses, race wars, as long as we know what dirty tricks
hidden ball
they got
trick
up their sleeve, as long as we have solidarity as people together for our basic human rights, they can piss up a rope.
Mm. So their tricks that they have up their sleeve are just about anything.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
Uh-huh.
They are all wearing carnations.
Mm-hmm.
Do not go smell it.
Mm.
I will tell you right now, it is connected to a little pump.
Oh, no.
It's going to spray water right in your face.
Dirty trick.
They've got so many dirty tricks.
It's race war, currency collapse,
right.
Cyber attack.
Buzzer and handshake.
Yep.
Yep, that one's there.
Dirty.
Dirty trickster.
Yeah. I find it takes a little bit of the power out of claiming to understand the enemy's playbook when it's like, well, they could do anything.
They got a lot of dirty
they
tricks.
They could do anything.
Now, I will tell you, having studied them for my entire life, they can do literally anything. All of their powers are on blast at all times, and there's nothing any of us can do to stop it.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Now, we are winning, but they have a lot of tricks, like
them.
Everything.
Yeah.
So dumb.
And I know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Everything.
So Alex starts waxing poetic a little bit here. I think he got into the spirit there a little bit earlier, talking about how there's the angels and all the demons and he's got to fight. And so he starts thinking about how, like, my whole career,
mm-hmm.
it was God. God did the whole thing.
Don't do this.
He did it.
And here we are. And now I can look back and I can see God did every bit of this. On the side.
What a shitty God.
And the devil did every bit of it on the other side.
That's not how it works.
And God and the devil are just as real as night and day, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, actually, that's an interesting question.
The devil, the archetype of God.
Night and day are
really
fully
the God,
created by ourselves.
The supreme being that made all this, obviously. And the bad guy. And there's a chief bad guy, and he's got a lot of other things that Motley Crue that goes along with his plan. And his plan is not God's plan. In fact, if you know God's plan, free will and empowerment and beauty and health and regeneration and honor and just goodness and discovery and creation, just so good.
Not according
everything
to
that's good. Total satisfaction. Just unbelievable.
Not
being in the presence of God.
Definitely not.
I've only had a few times, conscious and unconscious, sleeping to be able to actually be in God's presence. It's
Job was in the presence of God.
Unbelievably satisfying. Because the Holy Spirit's just kind of like catching a little ray, like God's aura. But to be in God's real presence is like you just want to get on the ground and lay down. Because it's so intense you can't even handle it. And it's like, oh, I'm totally complete. Everything. It's you know. And I'm trying to describe that feeling of completion. Because it's not like you're in ecstasy. It's not like you even want more or want less. You're like, oh, this goes on forever? This is eternity. This is timelessness. Oh, I can know everything now? Anything you want to know, you can know it. But you don't even want to know it. You just want to go, oh, God, I love you.
Oh, man. What a journalist.
What a great grasp of one's own belief system and the book that it is entirely based upon.
Sure.
Truly an astonishing level of understanding.
There. I think we're responding to different things here.
I think so too.
I think you're responding to that and I appreciate it. I'm responding to I've been in God's presence
literally
multiple times.
But obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who among us has not felt God's touch at least once?
I think that what Alex is describing is a little more than that.
He may have had a dream.
I think he had a dream.
I think he may have had a couple of dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he did some hallucinogenics one time.
It's possible.
Yeah, yeah.
We know he did crack on that beach when he was in high school.
Yeah. You know, as a bipolar person, I had a manic episode once when I was much younger and hallucinated the shit out of everything. And I, too, met Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, later on, when I was no longer in that manic episode, I said to myself, that was not actually Jesus.
Mm.
And there we go.
It was me.
Had I gone
look
the
at this
other
beard.
Direction.
Look at this beard. It was me.
When there was only one set of footsteps in the lies, it was you carrying me, Dan.
Yeah, I think that, if you had just sort of...
If I just leaned into it and been like, man, I really did meet Jesus, I could have run wild with that.
People's brain chemistry can make certain experiences much more memorable and extreme to them, and I think that's what you're experiencing here with Alex.
Yeah.
But I think he's nuts.
Yeah, he's absolutely nuts. Because it doesn't matter if he believes what he's saying.
No.
If you don't believe what you're saying, you're so nuts for saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe what you're saying, you're fucking nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those things are equally nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So he's nuts, man.
Good reporter, though. Really,
yeah.
He's basically just like, I don't know, Stelter or...
Well, Brian Stelter
Jake
did.
Tapper. He's like Jake Tapper.
I remember Jake Tapper going into his guttural voice and calling upon the ancient gods of Sumer to smite his enemies. But that was just like a weird day for him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That wasn't like a regular thing.
Yeah, when he talked about... I mean, experienced fullness when he...
Enki Gilgamesh, I call upon thee.
You know, it's normal stuff.
Yeah, that's how he closes most of his shows these days. And, you know, we just accept it.
It's not bad.
Yeah, no. This is Alex's particular brand of insanity.
Yeah.
So anyway, he gets more philosophical about his religious beliefs.
He's reporting on his religious beliefs.
Fair enough.
Yes.
And I think he's reporting that God created humans to destroy Satan. I think that's what he's saying here.
Okay.
I may be wrong.
Can you imagine the people that had the opportunity to be with that and decided to break with it? Satan saw that as slavery. Satan could build whatever he wanted, do whatever he wanted, know whatever he wanted, but he wasn't God. Can't be God. Isn't God. And so Satan said, I'm going to burn this down. God said, go ahead and try. Oh, by the way, I'm creating all these new entities that have free will just like I did. Little tiny versions of myself. Go ahead and have at them. Let's see if you can even beat my babies.
Okay.
Okay. And then there comes the argument, is God the greatest sadist that ever existed? And no, God is lonely.
What?
God wanted communion with us, and so God did this thing.
Okay. All right. So God's lonely, or he wanted to watch us beat up Satan.
Yeah. So I'm just going to throw this out there for people who are Christian and who listen to Alex Jones. Just a reminder, every bit of suffering and terror and death unleashed upon this world is purely because its creator was real lonely.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that you've done or ever have or ever will do is pointless, useless, and is only there to make a weird sadist happy.
Well, Alex said it's not sadism, so
I think
you're wrong.
No, fair enough.
I think this is just sort of like a twisted and childish understanding of like that idea of like if there is a one solitary unity of
sure.
God being,
sure.
then it would want to experience itself.
Naturally.
And, you know, that's how fractions of it become other consciousnesses. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that's kind of what the thread he's pulling on with that.
I guess, but I feel like he's pulling on it more as though God were Superman and Satan was Lex Luthor.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
But also, God wanted his babies to beat up
So God created the Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
This is not that abnormal for Alex's show.
True.
That's troubling.
True.
So anyway, Alex understands God's plans. And then this clip ends in a very jarring way.
And then there comes the argument, is God the greatest sadist that ever existed? And no, God is lonely. And God wanted communion with us. And so God did this thing. And I agree with God, and I am thankful for God for the choice of consciousness, and I understand all the pain that comes with it, but I appreciate it, and I totally understand it. But God is perfect, and in the perfect thought decided to do this, but the Satanists will always argue, why does your God allow death? Why does your God allow pain? Why does your God allow all this? Why is your God? Because we got free will, that's why.
Oh, I thought it was because he was lonely.
And you can't be given the keys to the universe until you've been tested here on Earth. You're not going to be given all that power until you've proven that you're willing to get hurt for doing the right thing. Nothing good's given for free. All right, let's go to the phone calls, and I apologize for making you hold. Who's been holding the longest? I've been preaching here today. Clayton in Canada, we love you. You're a trucker.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
That's...
Wow, I thought that we had given up on the trucker protest because we had moved on to the deep, deep philosophical questions about the meaning of life. But
the nature of angels and demons.
Yeah.
God's supposed plans. No.
Yeah.
And nobody can pull off. I mean, I don't think Alex did. So
yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I think no one literally can pull off that kind of a transition.
Yeah, no, that's not happening.
No.
Nope. No, 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 no.
Screaming about
no.
how you have to be tested if God's no. going to give you.
And let's go to the phones.
It's,
oh, man.
Yeah, that's clunky as hell.
I wonder why Satanists are always like, oh, why is there suffering and death? Why aren't they ever just like, oh, man, why didn't God just make a best friend, dude?
Mm.
You guys could have had such great times. You'd have been best friends, just holding hands, walking across the infinite nothingness of the universe.
That seems like it could have been an option.
Like a great way to go.
Yeah. But, you know, it's not good enough just to have one friend.
You need
to have community.
And then once you have a community, it's all fucked because the devil and shit.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yep. Anyway, we have one last clip, Jordan. And this is Alex describing how you got to keep fighting. Right?
Got to.
The trucks, great.
Yeah.
Big fan of the trucks.
Totally.
Trucks are going well. They're defeating the globalists. All the COVID nonsense. It behind us, but it's going to come back. And also the globalists have 100 different tricks
right.
of anything, any disaster or horrible thing
right.
is in the cards.
And the only way to stop it is bathroom graffiti.
Bathroom graffiti is good.
Yeah.
There are some other things you could do, but
sure.
yeah, bathroom graffiti is probably at the top of the
list. It's a start, yeah.
It's accessible to almost everybody. But yeah, you just got to keep fighting.
Just got to keep
going. Don't get disillusioned.
Give me some money.
Things are not going the way they wanted them to. So this is a very epic moment. And we've got to, though, reconstitute who we are. We've got to rebuild our infrastructures. We got to know that we're waking up to the fight we're in, but this was just one battle that we're barely winning.
The barely
war
winning
is going to get much more serious. It's like a video game. The next levels get more intense. We get stronger, too. And the more we wake up, the more we don't care anymore, and the more we don't have any fear. We care about our children and our future, but we don't care about what the globalists say about us or do to us. The stronger we get. God doesn't give you anything you can't handle. And I'm going to tell you, though, you're going to be incrementally challenged now, and if you step up, you're going to be one of the people that helps take down the New World Order. This broadcast is the tip of the spear. So I need your support, plus I got great products you need. Sale's going to end Monday, night at like midnight. We got to end it. It's 25% off high-quality, affordable food ready to ship to you right now.
You can't even get a reaction out of you from that anymore.
Nope. Nope. Nothing.
There wasn't even like an eyebrow rise.
I said it the moment, like I said it before the clip. I was just like, you could give me some money.
It's
just there. It's just bleeding out of his voice.
Well, it's a severe call to action of you can be a part of the actual taking down to the New World Order. But the call to action is really about the sale that he's got going on at Infowars.com with all these great pills and what have you. It's a disguised call to action. It's become a little bit too de rigueur.
Yeah. How is it that so many people get tricked into believing that the real way to defeat the New World Order is commerce and is not by design exactly part of the New World Order?
Well, I think it's, at least in Alex's case, I think it's because the exact same thing of, like, why do people think X, Y, or Z is martial law? It's because it's a feeling.
Yeah, that's right.
Selling you the feeling of fighting against the New World Order that's satisfied by supporting him.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's the marketing.
Yeah, and it's a good sale because...
And it doesn't feel like commerce because you're motivated to do it.
Because you're motivated to do it out of the fight. Mm-hmm. And it feels really good because you don't have to do anything. And if you actually did go into the fight, dude, that is not feel good most of the time.
It probably feels good for a minute. Then it goes downhill pretty quick.
Real quick.
Yes.
Real quick. There's blood.
Uh-huh.
You know, nobody is like, this $25... it's going to kill me. Mm. No.
So this episode was strange, I think.
Yeah. Put me in a little bit of a strange mood.
Did it?
Yeah. I'm a little bit swimmy.
It's hard for me to tell because I am running on very little sleep.
Right.
And so I'm a little frazzled, but I do think that was a weird ride.
Yeah.
The way with which Alex is reporting on the caravan stuff, you know, fairly non-specifically for the most part, but selling the feeling of it being successful in taking down the COVID charade or whatever, is strange because I don't think it's a long-term solution to his problems.
Right.
I think this is a Band-Aid.
Right.
I think it's going to fall off before too long. But then the way that the rhetoric is also shifting within that conversation is really, really scary. And then his bizarre religious swing in the last like 40 minutes of his show was just upsetting and strange.
Yeah. I feel like here's what I'm feeling disoriented wise. Like, I feel like I just watched somebody try and scam me with a 3-card Monte game, you know, and they were moving the cards and I got it the first time. I was like, you got that. And then they just kept doing it, not at a high level, but for a long time.
Like
just
5 years?
Moving those, just switching the cards around, until I'm just like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. What are we doing? What are we doing here?
I could have followed the card.
I could have.
But I got bored.
It's a long time ago that I stopped. What are we doing?
Wait, am I the person doing the cards?
No. Oh, Alex is.
I got confused.
Exactly. Because I just started doing the cards thing to you.
So, Jordan, we'll be back. But until then, I guess... we have a website.
Do we still have a website?
We do. I was going to try and come up with something clever that sort of...
we have a house of cards?
Wove in Alex's devil demons
stuff. Right.
But I couldn't come up with one on the fly.
Well, within a certain dimension, you could say that our website is called knowledgefight.com.
That is true. Interdimensionally available on the World Wide Web.
Absolutely.
We are also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter.
Just in this dimension.
Just in this one. We will never go on Twitter in another dimension.
Well, we got kicked off 4D... Twitter.
But yeah, but that wasn't our fault.
No, it wasn't.
That was censorship.
Mm-hmm.
Because we fucked with time.
Cancel culture.
It's at @knowledge_fight. I go to bed, Jordan.
Yep, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Daryl Rundus.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.